I'm really trying to preach exactly what God wants me to preach. But in Galatians 4, I want to begin reading in verse 4. Actually, the message will be verse 4. We'll be breaking this verse down, actually. And I want to preach to you this morning on what Christmas is all about. And that one verse, it tells us. It tells us what Christmas is all about. I know there is a group, and I understand the pagan aspects of Christmas. I understand that. And those that choose not to put up Christmas trees and all that stuff, that's your business. But folks, my heart at Christmas time is one thing, and that's recognizing the birth of our Savior. How that, folks, that's the day He took upon a human body. Amen. That's the day He came to seek and save that which was lost. Amen. And for us not to ever recognize that, I think it's wrong. Amen. We recognize His birth. We recognize His death. We recognize His resurrection. We recognize His life, sinless. Christ was impeccable, which means He didn't sin, nor could He have. He was in the impeccability of Christ. He was the God-man. I'm going to preach on that, and it's going to be simple for some, but it'll be all right. Look at the verse with me, Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Boy, that's a good reading, isn't it? Father, we love You and thank You for Your goodness to us. Thank You, Lord, that we recognize in the birth of our Savior. Lord, we realize we don't know if Christ was actually born in December. We know there's a debate, but Lord, we know You were born. We have set this time of year to recognize that and to think that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a blessing that is to know that we are part of Your family because of Jesus. And we know that Christ came not to stay a babe in a manger, but in 33 and a half years to go to the cross and die for our sin. And Lord, that we could have life and have it more abundantly. And Father, I pray now for the message. You'd illuminate my heart, my mind, make preaching easy. And Lord, touch us. Lord, if there's one here unsaved, please save them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. What Christmas is all about. Now, there is no way that, you can call me whatever you want to call me. I've been called worse, I'm sure. There's no way I'm going to stand up here and bash anybody. But we all know that Christmas is not about a jolly fella in a red outfit. That's the fun of Christmas, but that's not the reality of it. And I don't. If you do that, it don't matter to me, amen. But I do believe the emphasis ought to be on the reality and the real meaning of it. Amen. Christ is the reason for the season. Amen. I know that this time of year everything gets commercialized, and some of you, I may get bashed for this, but the greatest thing to me to ever happen, as far as shopping it goes, is online shopping. Amen. You say, preacher, you're hurting retail. I don't care. I don't have to go out in it. Amen. Amazon drivers, they have to take a knee at my house. It wears them out. Had to take a break. So we understand, there's nothing wrong with giving gifts. A wise man brought gifts. Gold and frankincense and myrrh. All of them pictures of Christ. Gold, his deity. Amen. Frankincense, that sweet-smelling savor, myrrh. Folks, it's used in really anointing bodies. All of it has to do with Christ and why he came. God came to give his life, that you and I could have life and have life more abundantly. Praise his holy name. Thank God for that. And so, but this verse, these verses that I read, simply, if someone ever asks you, what does Christmas really mean? Go to Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So I want to use that text and preach what Christmas is all about. Number one, Christmas is about a man. The Bible said, look at that verse, God sent forth his Son. Now, again, we mentioned this a while ago. It's not about the man in the red suit. It's not about new bicycles and baby dolls. It's about a man who came from a far world. Now, the red man comes from far world once a year to bring gifts. Right? I mean, if you're going to talk about it, talk about where it comes from. The North Pole. But it's about a man, another man who came far away with the gifts of grace, faith, mercy, and love. Right. It's about a man who came to give unto us even his very body as an offering for our sins and offers to all the gift of forgiveness. Amen. Boy, I like that. Christmas is about not only a man, but Christmas is about a God man. Right. Get a hold of that a minute. Isaiah 9:6 says this, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Hebrews 2:9, the Bible says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Hey, I won't get off on that. I'm starting to get on Calvinist, but I won't. Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Christmas is about Christ. Amen. That's deep, isn't it? But that is the simple truth. Amen. Christmas is about Christ. It's about a man. It's about a God man. I'm going to get to that. Christmas is about a man. Let's move on. I'm not going to keep you long. Now look at the verse. Christmas is about a man, and Christmas is about a miracle. Listen to the verse. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son. What's the next phrase? Made of a woman. Now get this, the miracle. In this, there are two obviously remarkable and notable truths. First, that as the Son of woman, Jesus became like us. His humanity shows that he was willing to be identified with us. Get a hold of that. Let me quote that again. His humanity shows that he was willing to be identified with us. Secondly, though he was called the Son of Man, he was made of a woman. He is the only baby ever born who was older than his mother and the same age as his father. And I'm not talking about Joseph. I'm talking about a miracle. Y'all need to get that one more time. Though he was called the Son of Man, he was made of a woman. He is the only baby ever born who was older than his mother and the same age as his father. The virgin birth is a miracle for us to be saved or the Bible to be true. It is a must. Without a virgin birth, we have a contaminated Savior. That's what sets us apart. Buddha, Muhammad, Confucius, they had an earthly father, which made them earthly men that had a carnal nature. They couldn't be sinless. The only way a man or an individual man could be born in this earth perfect is this way. A miraculous birth. Amen. Bible says this in Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which is interpreted as God with us. Listen to this. If Jesus was not virgin born, get this now. If Christ was not virgin born, then he did not fulfill the prophecy, was not the Messiah, and we are lost eternally in our sins. It's not a negotiable doctrine. You can't negotiate the virgin birth. In order for us to be saved, in order for us to, the prophecies, but Brother Bud quoted the book of Micah this morning, that great prophecy of Christ coming. If he wasn't born of a virgin, all that's lies. We've been fooled. The preacher, how you know you hadn't been fooled? You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. That transaction took place in my soul. I know he's alive, and I know he was virgin born. Well, how in the world did that happen then? How in the world? Well, let me read it to you. Luke 1:35. And the angel answered and said unto her, here's how it's going to happen. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the high shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which is born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Amen. Amen. That's how it was virgin born. The Holy Ghost shall overshadow thee. He's going to put the seed. He's going to put God in you. Preacher, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard. Yeah, it sure is to the carnal mind. But when you hear the gospel and the Holy Spirit of God begins to take blinders off of your heart and mind, it's the easiest thing in the world to believe. It's the easiest thing in the world to believe. That we have a perfect Savior because he had no carnal nature and he was conceived of the Spirit of God without the aid of man. Not preaching on Joseph today, but well, there's a message. I've got a message or two about Joseph. The Bible plainly says he was a just man. He was a just man. Folks, any other man would have blew his stack. That ain't never happened before. That blowed his mind. Of course, I won't get into the biblical things as far as, but they were, when they become a spouse, they were really legally married without the consummation of it yet. Now I won't go no farther than that. And then she comes and says, Joseph, I'm expecting. But I'm a virgin. Now, how many of you fellas would have believed that? We'd have went crazy. We'd have lost our mind. We'd have said, I'm going to the law. The law says, stone her. The law says, stone that woman. Joseph was a just man. God said, I'm going to talk to him. And the angel came to him while he was asleep and said, hey, Don't get upset. I'm paraphrasing. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. I have a purpose for her. He said, but I'm going to tell you what I'm going to let you do. I'm going to let you announce his name. That's what he said. His name shall be called what? Jesus. Well, nobody else got that information. Again, I'm not trying to add to the scriptures at all. Honey, come here a minute. I can't do it. You don't want to fix this little illustration? Stand right there. Can you imagine when he wakes up, he goes to America? You know what he probably did? Probably hugged her neck, kissed her on the cheek. Jesus is coming. Thank you, baby. Amen. Jesus is coming.
Amen.
What? That's his name. How you know? God told me. She couldn't say no, he didn't, because she done blown everybody's mind what God told her. She done stirred up John the Baptist in Elizabeth's womb. I bet they had a crying spell right there. I bet they had a shouting spell. Jesus is coming. Christ is on the way. Our deliverer, our Savior, our God, he's on the way, and he's using you to bring him. And his name is Jesus. Woo. He was going to put her away privately. He's going to break that bond privately. Because he had law rights to do it. But the Lord intervened. Boy, there's a message there too. And many times you was headed for a bad decision. Do something goofy. The Lord just steps in. Whew, that's another message. Let me get to it. Christmas is about a man. It's about a miracle. God sent forth his son made of a woman. Now notice thirdly. I'm hurrying. Christmas is about a mission. Now go to the next verse. Let me read verse 4 again. Hang with me. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son made of a woman, made under the law. Why did he do it? To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. The whole mission of Christ coming was that. To redeem us. We was under condemnation because the law condemned us. Well, how did the law condemn you? Every time we look at it, it's pure righteousness, it's pure holiness, and we can't obtain. We can't obtain, we cannot obtain the law. I don't mean to get off on this, but me and my wife have been watching some documentaries about different things. And, you know, my eyes, I mean, I realized it, but watching some of those things, how easy it is for Satan to deceive. We watched that documentary about Waco, Texas. What was his name? Yeah. And I'm sitting there. Now, I'm a saved man. Been saved a while. I've been preaching a long time. And so, please understand that. But I'm sitting there going, are you people blind?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, they were. They were deceived. It was a satanic deception.
That's right.
And 80-something of them burned up with him. Wouldn't move. Wouldn't come out. Now, I'm not getting the fact if the authority's done too. That ain't what I'm talking about. I'm not getting it. That's a whole different conversation. But and we watched others of how easy. You know what that? You know what that got in my heart? We better be about the Father's business. We better be telling them this story. Because when Satan gets his claws in them and sends a false prophet that is sweet with his words. It's a mixed congregation. It just blew my mind. Grown men turning over their wives and daughters to it.
Yeah.
Thinking that's what God said do.
Wow.
I'm saying, he takes a Bible and just rips it apart. The mission, you listen to me, and somebody might be listening to me right now over the internet. You better listen to me. There's only salvation in one.
Amen.
That's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I can't bring it. No other preacher can bring it. No priest can bring it. No false prophet can bring it. Nobody can bring it.
Amen.
The whole message of Christmas was this, that he came to redeem those who were under the law. That's us. We were condemned in sin. And Christ came to pay the debt. It plainly says, Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. Jesus came to this earth because of others. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came into this world to save sinners. Listen to this, three quick things. The mission revolves around the sinner who is lost. Charles Spurgeon said this, I do not know if there is a more dreadful word in the English language than the word lost. Think about that. Lost without Christ means if you're lost without Christ, you're without hope. The mission reveals a Savior who is loving. A mission results in a salvation that is lasting. He didn't give me something temporarily. He gave me something eternally. That's right. And folks, you understand the adoption of sons? Do you understand the adoption of sons? And we're crying, Abba, Father. He is our Papa. He is that relationship with a son and father. Folks, you understand? You may have a natural child. You could write off. Disassociate. In other words, take your rights away. You can't do that with an adopted son. Get a hold of that. It's illegal to do that with an adopted son. Whew. I marvel at sonship. It's a wonder, a marvel that he would forgive me. It's awe-inspiring that he would love me. It's a glorious thing that he would save me. It is his mercy that he would let me serve him. Let me read that again. It's a wonder that he would forgive me. It's a marvelous thing he would forgive me. It's an awe-inspiring that he would love me. It's a glorious thing that he would save me. It's a merciful thing that he would let me serve him. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many that received him, he gave them the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. 1 John 3:1-3, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Wow. I thought about Luke 2. That's probably the most preached text during this time of year. There's a picture in that. Shepherding was the lowest, unrecognizable, less appreciated task you could do. You were alone. Shepherding means that you feed the sheep. You fight for the sheep. You listening? You stand faithful by the sheep. And the angel of God came to the shepherds. Fear ye not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. And they're standing there in amazement. And the heavenly host begins to rejoice. Come see where he lay. Do you understand? The angel didn't stop at the palace. Are you listening to me? He didn't stop at the palace or the castle. He went to the shepherds. I'm telling you, folks, it doesn't matter how low you are in this life. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how sorry you've been. It doesn't matter if anybody knows you. Those shepherds wasn't recognized, wasn't bragged on. Most people didn't even know who they were, but God did. And it showed up where they were. Hey, get this. We were dead in trespasses and sin. We were the lowest of the low. How much lower can you get than dead? But he came to where I was. He came to where you are. That's Christmas. Christmas was God fulfilling prophecies that were promised. God showing. God settling prophecies. God showing His love. God sending His Son. And God saving the sinner. That's Christmas. That's Christmas. All the other stuff, that's okay if you put them in the right place. Amen. You put them in the right place. Don't let the God of this world blind your mind. And it's just all about stuff. And stuffing yourself. It's wonderful to be with family. Amen. That's a blessed thing. Who don't like to get a gift? If you don't like to get a gift, send me all you get. But that's not the reason for Christmas. Amen. Jesus is the reason. Let's all stand. Miss Courtney's coming. Heads are bowed.